So his best-selling book series, The Rational Male, has been named one of the greatest books that every man should read, impacting and saving men's lives worldwide. He's teaching men to be more alpha, a YouTube personality, and a podcaster himself. He is an expert on relationships and marriage. Welcome to the Maz Hakim podcast, Rolla Tomasi. Ooh,
that's quite the build-up. Thank you very much.
I want to get straight into it, Rolla. Tell me this. Are men afraid of independent, strong women?
I would say less so now than ever before. I honestly think that's kind of an old school 20th century trope, meaning that it's something that sounds like it makes sense, but really only makes sense from the position of Gloria Steinem, Betty Friedan feminism of the 1970s. Right now, when you look at least here in the United States, when you look at the rate of women being in the workplace, the statistics for women being in college right now it's somewhere around 40%. Mm-hmm. It could be more than that, depending on the major and you know, whether it's a master's degree or a doctorate. So to say that, you know, men are intimidated or threatened by a woman who's, you know, strong and independent or has her own, you know, has her own game, really, as far as education and money is concerned, is kind of a non-starter these days, mm-hmm. because I think it's more expected right now. So to say that, you know, men are threatened or something like that, it's not so much threatening. It's like, what else is there? You
know, right.
You're talking about the operative state at this point. And it's kind of, I, a lot of the stuff that I stress in my most recent work is that we're kind of entering into this time period where we're still clinging to these old order, old way, 20th century ways of thinking about things. Mm. And we're still clinging to the same, you know, terminologies, I guess. And that's one of them.
So why is that the perception then, that men are more afraid or intimidated of stronger women, like they prefer or they, you know, they find women who are not as strong more appealing? Why is that the perception for women, well, at least anyway?
What is strength? That's the first thing.
Right.
What is strength?
Strength is, well,
the defined terms here. What makes a woman strong in the first place, and what separates? Why is that uniquely female, and why is that uniquely male? Because I'll tell you this right now: is I've had so many people tell me, like, you know, we've probably heard this since really the mid 70s. I think is like we've been encouraging guys to get in touch with their feminine side, right? Mm. To get in touch with your emotions, be more emotional, be more emotionally available, be more vulnerable. And essentially, what that's saying to men is that they need to man down. They need to be more like a woman. So to be a more perfected man is to be more like a woman, to be more feminine. That was the whole push, really, from the post-sexual revolution years, from say like 1965 all the way up to where we're at right now. We're still hearing those tropes, right? That terminology, that narrative at this point. Yeah. So what? And in the meantime, we told women, you know, you've got to be strong. You've got to be independent. The strong, independent woman narrative. Mm-hmm. So my question is, when people throw that at me, it's like, what qualifies as strength for women? Because when we say, oh, a man's got to be strong, we have a different terminology for that now. We say, oh, well, you got to be vulnerable. Well, if you look up the dictionary definition of vulnerability, it's weakness. Mm-hmm. That's essentially what it is. So it's a term that's called a transvaluation. We take the meaning of one word and we flip it on its head and we turn it into something else. So that's why I'm always saying, what qualifies as strong and independent? Because really, since the 70s, we've been telling women that that's what they ought to be. That's the ideal, but we never really clearly defined that for them. So that's why I always start with that.
So how can, say, for example, how can a man be more alpha? So alpha men also are a lot more appealing, right, to women. How can a man become more alpha?
Well, that's another definition. Like what really qualifies as alpha? I always use these definitions. Okay. I'm sure you've probably seen the Avengers movies, right? You've surprising Captain America and Iron Man, right? Mm-hmm. Those are two alpha archetypes. But if you go and you take Captain America is like, you know, he's the good guy, right? He's still good looking. He's still in shape and everything else, but he's got a different attitude. He's very pro-social. It's truth, justice in the American way, like Superman, right? Mm. He's a guy who cares about people and cares about, you know, his country and cares about his mom, you know, he cares about, you know, like, you know, maybe he'd make a good husband. Right. And then you've got Tony Stark. Okay. Still very alpha. Okay. But he kind of does. He's a little less pro. So, I mean, later in the movies, of course, he becomes more, but you could make the same comparison between, like, say, Superman and Batman. Mm-hmm. Batman, Iron Man, they're mavericks, right? They're standalone. They're still alpha, mm-hmm. but they're kind of like scoundrel alphas, right? They're kind of like maverick vigilante alphas who do things on their own terms, kind of thing.
Like more narcissistic? Or?
Yeah, well, maybe, but narcissism, of course, is part of the dark triad personality traits, which women statistically find very, very attractive. And so when we say, well, what is alpha? Somebody's going to say that's Captain America. Other people are going to say it's Tony Stark or it's Batman or it's, you know, versus Superman. And they're still alpha archetypes and they're still attractive in their own way, but they're only useful to women at certain phases of their lives. Mm-hmm. So when a woman gets to say about like 29, 30, 31 years old, then maybe Captain America looks like a better bet for her. But when she's 22 or 23, then you're looking at like Tony Stark, then you're looking at Batman, that archetype where he's sort of like the scoundrel, kind of dark knight, kind of like more brooding, pensive kind of alpha. So it really kind of depends on what is your definition and what is the most attractive for a woman at any particular time. So when she's say 23 and she's in college, maybe she's looking for the Tony Stark kind of alpha. Whereas when she's gets later on in her, you know, she's looking for more long-term security. She's looking for a good husband. She's looking for a father for her children. Then maybe Captain America is a better archetype for her at that particular time. The problem is it's trying to balance the two of those and trying to make it a work for themselves, work for women at a particular time. So really what is alpha? It sort of depends on that individual and what that guy is really sort of about at that time. We've kind of shied away, I think, from the term alpha right now, because a lot of people, they get a bad taste in their mouth whenever they say that, oh, he's an alpha male, or he's a beta male or whatever else. It sounds like an insult right now. Even to call someone an alpha male, almost sounds like an insult. So we're using terms like high value man at this point. So what really makes a high value man? Well, he's the guy who's on point with his money, his muscles, and his game. And by game, I mean like his social savvy, right? His ability to be a good conversationalist and understand social cues and be really good at his social skills. Whereas, of course, you know, fitness is pretty obvious. He's got to be in shape. He's got to have his, you know, his body and his physique down. And then his money, right? He's got to be, he's got to at least have his own business, or he's got to have some sort of, and that doesn't say he has to necessarily be like Tony Stark. He doesn't have to be like, you know, an independently wealthy millionaire, but he's got to have his money on point or be at least ambitious enough, self-centered enough, self-concerned enough to be able to maximize all three of those areas. And so if you're going to be a quote unquote alpha male, or if you're going to be a high value male, alpha's not, I'm not saying, you know, alpha males are guys who want to be like silverback gorillas. We're not trying to turn them into like alpha wolves on the Arctic tundra or something like that. A lot of people want to make that comparison, and that's not what we're talking about. When I use the term alpha, it's an abstraction. It's an abstract term. It's not like I'm trying to compare things to like animals in the wild. It's just that there is a certain man who is more valuable than another guy on the sexual marketplace, according to what women need at that particular time.
It definitely evolves, I think, with age, what women get attracted to and what they're after. I saw a stat that said, that you posted actually, that said, why is 100% of women attracted to only 20% of men?
Okay. So you're getting into what that has to do with is women's innate evolved natural mating strategy, which is they're always looking for the bigger and the better deal, which is also known as hypergamy. Mm-hmm. So hypergamy is this, it used to be a term that was only reserved for sort of socioeconomic upward mobility, let's just say. The term originally was coined by a sociologist back in the 50s, and I don't recall the guy's name, but he was doing research and studies of the Indian caste system at that time and noticed that there was a tendency for women of a lower caste to want to marry into a higher caste. Yeah. And so he called this hypergamy. Okay, it was the mating up, right? It was marrying up. Well, since that time, what we've done, and I've been personally responsible for this as well, is expanding the definition of hypergamy, not to just be about socioeconomics, but also, as I said before, money, muscles, and game. So it's looking for a guy who is the bigger and better deal in a lot of different categories and not just in a socioeconomic category. Mm-hmm. So what we say when we talk about the 80-20 rule, which is what, you know, the quote unquote classic Pareto principle, whereas like, you know, 80% of your results are really sort of the result of 20% of your effort, right? Well, we kind of flip that again on its head when we talk about hypergamy. So what a lot of people make the mistake of is they think that the 80-20 rule means that 20% of women or 20% of guys are getting having sex or getting, you know, after it with 80% of women, which is not what that means. Right. When I talk about it's 100% of women are looking for the top 20% of guys, we can see this borne out in research after research after research, where women are only attracted to the top 20% of men. So if you look at the most recent statistics, and this is from evolutionary psychology, this is from guys like Dr. David Buss, Rob Henderson, Rolf Dengen, I can get you the research if you'd like to see it. But essentially what it says and what it shows, according to like dating habits and like Hinge, Bumble, Tinder, Match.com, name the dating site, because we have access to this data. In every single one of those apps and those arenas, what happens is women find 80% of men unattractive. Wow. not attractive, or maybe he'll do, unattractive. They are completely off the list if they don't want to have anything to do with. There's far more men on all of these dating sites than there are women. And so what the statistics show is that 100% of women want to get with the top 20% of guys, because 80% of them are already deemed as unattractive. Now, does that mean the top 20% of guys are attractive? No, it means that they're just kind of like still in the running. Like they might be, you know, if they met them in a club or something and they were pretty smooth, or they had some money, or they had something to offset the fact that they were not in the 80%. Then they might be a suitable candidate. Now it gets even worse, because only 4.5% of men online are attractive enough for women to want to initiate something with those guys. So that's why I was 4%? Talking about
one. Huh? Wow, you said 4%?
4.5.
4.5. Oh my gosh.
By the most recent numbers, the most recent research. So only 4.5% of men online. And that's how we date right now, by the way. If you look at the statistics for how couples meet since the year 2000, everything has fallen off a cliff. Church, school, work, friends and, you know, friends and family kind of thing. All of that's fallen off the cliff. And if you look at what the number one way for men and women to meet right now, it is online. It is Tinder. It is Hinge. It is Bumble. And it's not Match.com or eHarmony or Plenty of Fish anymore, because that took some time to do. Now it's like this. Now it's like we have our phone and we're swiping left or swiping right to say, oh, attractive, non-attractive, attractive, non-attractive. And that's what starts the process anyways of men and women coming together and actually eventually forming a family, right? But right now it's just sort of like short-term sexual, or it's he looks attractive, I think I'll get with him. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's Instagram right now, by the way, is the number one dating app on planet Earth, because even when you meet someone at a club and you say, oh, he's cute, let's look at his Instagram and see if he's cool enough to hang out with right now. Let's, you know, because it's like doing your background check for an employee. That's the first thing you will do is go look at their Facebook, look at their Twitter, look at their Instagram, look and see what they're really about socially and see if there's somebody that would be a good fit for your company. It's very much the same mentality right now. And remember, it is women who are doing the selection here. particularly in the terms of, like, say, Hinge or Bumble, where it's the woman that has to initiate the interaction to begin with. So now we're down to just pictures. And it's no longer reading a description or a profile anymore about, like, oh, I love long walks on the beach and puppy dogs and all that kind of stuff. It's no longer about that. It's, is he hot or is he not? He is hot. Okay. Swipe left, swipe right, depending on which one you want to be with. Mm-hmm. So again, those stats all bear out the fact that 80% of men are unattractive, whereas the 20% might do. And then there's 4.5% of men that are attractive enough that women will go swipe right. And I'm going to call this guy right now.
Yeah.
That guy's hot enough for me to want to get with. 4.5%. So that when we talk about hypergamy, there is no more damning evidence than the ability to have those stats on hand. And you can get those, by the way, you can get those from the blogs of Hinge, Tinder, Bumble. You can still get that from the blog. You can get data for the sexual habits and the dating habits of certainly the American public, but the worldwide, really. You can get the stats for humanity when it comes to our intersexual dynamics and our intersexual interactions.
So obviously, I mean, women are having a lot of issues with dating. People are struggling more and more to find that perfect partner. So what would your advice be to women who are looking for that 4% of men? And what would your advice be to women on finding the right man who's not necessarily...
Lower your standards. First and foremost. I know that's the joke. But whenever we talk about women becoming more feminine, like we were saying, the discussion we're having earlier here, when we're talking about how men tend to, we ask men to man down, but then when it's convenient, we want them to man up. Yeah. When women have a need for Tony Stark, that's when it's like, just be hot, just be fun, just be exciting, take me rock climbing, you know, take me, you know, bungee jumping, whatever it is. And then, but when women get to be like, say, about 30, 31, 32, which, by the way, the average age of first marriage right now is, of course, for men about 30, and for women is about 29, 28 and a half, 29, somewhere around there. Oddly enough, right? Well, once I've had my hoe phase, my party years between 18 and 28, that 10-year demographic right there, then suddenly it's like, oh, I want to do things right. I want to get right with God. My mom wants grandkids. And so you're starting to look more for like Captain America and Superman right around that age. I think the first thing women need to do is start thinking in terms of grand strategy rather than just tactical thinking. Because right now, when women are, say, between the ages of 18 and 28, they tend to peak as far as sexual marketability is concerned right around 23 years old. That's when women have the most of what men find the most attractive, which is youth, fertility, beauty, hopefully availability. And that's what the high value men that they eventually want to get with later on in life are really looking for. They're looking for someone who has femininity, someone who has beauty, who takes care of themselves physically, but also emotionally and mentally as well. So there's this want for more of a conventional femininity. I don't say traditional femininity; I say conventional, because I believe that there is there are conventional aspects of femininity and masculinity that we simply don't, we want to sweep under the carpet right now because everybody's so empowered and everybody's so full of themselves right now, but. To tell women, modern women today, like we were just saying, you know, I'm a strong, independent woman. I went to college for 4 to 8 years. I make X amount of money. I own my own business. I provide for my own security and everything else, but I can't find my quote unquote equal. And for the most part, an equal for women is a guy who's taller than them, richer than them, stronger than them, better looking than them, better educated than them. I mean, just goes on and on down the list, but considers himself her equal. I tell women this. I said, it sounds like I'm telling women to dumb themselves down when I say you need to get in touch with your feminine side. We've been talking to men for you know, God knows how long, like 50 years, telling them you need to get in touch with your female emotional side. Well, God forbid a guy like Rolla Tomasi comes around and says, ladies, you need to become more feminine. You need to get in touch with your femininity. And that's really hard for women who've spent the better part of their lifetime being told that they need to get the bag and they need to make more money and they need to be more educated, because you can't trust any man. You know, men are either ridiculous like Homer Simpson, Dr. Huxtable, you know, needs mommy to save him from himself kind of archetype, or else he's borderline abusive. He's Tinder swindler, you know, something right. you have to watch out for those guys kind of thing, even though you'll fall in love with him and fly off with him on his private jet to Belarus or whatever else. The thing is that whole fantasy still is very appealing to women. But the thing is like, even in spite of that, the borderline abusive guy, archetype guy, the ridiculous guy or the incompetent guy, that's all women are taught that they have a choice with. Well, of course, they're going to want to be independent, strong, independent women, because you can't trust any man. And so therefore, why would I do anything to appease or please a man, especially when 80% of them are unattractive as it is? And yeah. The guys you want to get with are 4.5% of the population of apparently. And that's being very generous, I think. And you still want to get with those guys. Well, how do you go and you get your ideal high value guy, however that, you know, shakes out for you? How do you go about doing that? Well, I would say, you know, you've got to become, you know, get in touch with your feminine side. And every time I say that you need to become more feminine, it sounds to modern women like I'm saying dumb yourself down, because you spent half of your life or most of your life becoming, you know, strong and independent because you can't trust women or can't trust men. And you need to have your own sense of security, because you don't know if that guy's going to be there tomorrow. So you better have your money in order, and you better have your family in order, and you better have all this other stuff in order, because you can't trust any man. Even when you get into an ideal marriage or an ideal relationship, you don't know that tomorrow's not a guarantee. And so if I say that, get in touch with your feminine side, be more submissive, be more conventionally feminine, it sounds like I'm saying dumb yourself down, but it's not really about that. It's really about thinking strategically, seeing the forest for the trees, because really right now what most women do is they go, he's hot, he's not, he's hot, is he on Instagram, is he cool enough to hang out with, does he love his mom, does he like puppy dogs, does he want kids in the future, is he hot, is he going to stay in shape, does he make a lot of money? And it's like this laundry list of prerequisites for that guy. Each one of those prerequisites is a woman thinking tactically rather than seeing the broader scope of like, where does she want to be in 10 years, in 20 years? And I don't think enough women really think that far ahead these days.
So how can a woman in their 30s and 40s then become more feminine? So to appeal to, say, an alpha male or a high value male?
By the time you get into your mid 30s, it's pretty much over. And I'm being as blunt as I possibly can here, because I think that that's something that women need to hear. Well, it's not so much doom and gloom. It's the, let me rephrase that. Yeah. Statistically speaking, if you are a woman past the age of 35 or 36, there are women who are 25 and 26 that are going to outperform you in the sexual marketplace. It's as simple as that. And so, like, for instance, I did a show, a podcast, probably about 2 or 3 months ago. And I was riffing on an episode of Steve Harvey. And this woman had come on the Steve Harvey show, and she was 36 years old, and she was there almost in tears because she could not find the alpha male, the high value man that she just knew she deserves. Okay. And she has done everything right. She'd done everything society and the strong independent narrative had ever taught her. And she was there with her mother, by the way, too, who wanted grandchildren, which is what I was just saying a minute ago. And she's there and she's asking Steve Harvey the exact same question you just asked me right now. How do I find the right guy? Because I've done everything society has told me that I should do. I'm strong. I'm independent. I own my own business. I went to college. You know, she was not unattractive. She was attractive for being, you know, 35, 36 years old. And she's still looking for the guy who's the turnkey relationship. She wants the guy to step in and just like, okay, here I am. Just show up on her front door and go, let's go off into the future and have babies, and let's give grandchildren to your mom, who's almost in tears here as well. And the problem is, she is the product of the strong independent narrative. She's the product of all of that. She has pretty much created and molded her life into a lifestyle where it's, I don't need no man, but I want a man. Well, the problem is no man doesn't want to be not needed. That's the problem. Men are problem solvers. We right. want to feel needed. We want a purpose. If you look at the work of, say, like Jordan Peterson of the last, like, say, I don't know, 4 or 5 years now, and it's not just Jordan, there's other people are saying the same thing. You look at the Lost Boys generation. We will complain about the last half of the millennials and the probably all of Generation Z, and we say, these guys are purposeless. They're rudderless in life. They don't have any direction. They have no purpose. They're not going to college because it seems like a waste of time and a waste of money for them. And so they're just sort of the dropout generation. And women don't want to get with that. They want a guy who has ambition, and they want a guy who takes care of himself and has drive and passion and thinks about himself at the same time. And so meanwhile, we have this generation of guys who are sort of like the Lost Boys generation, or the dropout generation. And then you have this generation of women who get to 35, 36 years old, and they go, where's my Prince Charming? Where's my high value man? Where's my turnkey relationship? I was told that if I did all of these things, if I, you know, took care of myself and I had my own business and I got the bag and I did everything, I'm a strong, independent woman. Here I am at 36. And yet there's no guy that's forthcoming to be my husband, to give me babies and go off into the future. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is because from the time she was, you know, 5 or 6 years old, Disney and Pixar and popular media and popular culture have been telling her, you go, girl, you can do anything you want to. You get the bag. You can't trust men. You know, you got to help them save themselves from themselves, kind of thing. And they've got this constant narrative. Well, that woman, that girl of 5 becomes the woman of 35. And she's like, where's the prize? Where's the guy? Where's he didn't go to college. I don't, you know, 80% of these guys are unattractive.
But doesn't
what
that
do
mean
I do?
But doesn't that mean men should really step up then? Does that mean that women are outgrowing men?
Should is a word that I don't use. Okay. I don't deal with prescriptions. I deal in descriptions. Okay. However, should men become, yeah, of course they should, but you know what? They're not. Why? And why aren't they? Why is it that more men addicted to alcohol or addicted to, you know, name the sedation right now? We have made it very easy to sedate the average man. And I don't mean this just here in the United States. This is like all over the world, by the way. So when we talk about how men have like pornography addictions, or they're addicted to playing like video games, or we always say, oh, you're living in your mom's basement and you're playing video games and you're still living at home, that kind of stuff. That's the stereotypical, you know, they might not actually be doing that, but that's the impression we think of, like when we talk about an incel, like an involuntary celibate, right? He's just a loser. And there's more losers than there are winners. And we can, again, statistically, we can see that women want to get with the top 4.5%, or certainly at least the top 20% of guys. And those guys are, statistically speaking, not losers. they're the guys that women want to get with. And they're the men that other men want to be and other women want to get with. Right. So.
Right.
So when we have you got at least multiple generations now, certainly the last two, the millennials and Gen Z, guys who aren't, quote unquote, living up to their responsibilities. Well, the reason why they're not living up to those quote unquote, responsibilities to be a better husband or be a better man or whatever for that woman who's now 35 years old going, where's my Prince Charming? Those guys say, you're not worth it. There's nothing. What's my incentive? I'm not needed. I'm superfluous as a guy. You want a man, but you don't need a man. You see what I'm saying? So as a woman, if you've taken care of all of your security needs for the long term with respect to your money and your education and everything else, and you say, I don't need a man, I want a man. Okay, what kind of man do you want? I want Tony Stark. I want Batman. I want that guy, that hot guy in the foam cannon party in Cancun on spring break. You know, that's the guy that she wants to get with, because she wants that guy, because she has no use for the guy who can provide security, who provisioning protection.
So what do you do then? Do you just pretend that you're like, you need a man? But honestly, what is the solution for women in their 30s and 40s, in all honesty, to become more feminine and more appealing to men? Because I know, especially in Dubai, a lot of women move here on their own for their career. It's a really special place. It's a hub of very, very ambitious people, men and women. So what can the woman do to become more feminine, as you say, to appeal to men.
Okay. So first and foremost, throw away every idea you ever had about egalitarianism. Throw that out the window. It is ineffective. It is a dead meme. It is a dead ideology. Okay. Men and women are different. Accept that now. Okay. Men have a different criteria for attraction and for arousal than women do. So men are primarily interested in two things when it comes to attraction anyways. They're interested in youth and beauty. They're interested in fertility and is she hot? That gets you in the door. Anything else that comes after that, well, I make my own money. That makes no difference to a guy when it comes to attraction, it comes to arousal. It's nice to have. It's icing on the cake. Don't get me wrong. It's good to have a woman who can hold a conversation, but that doesn't make any, I don't care how smart you are, what a great, you know, charmer you are or great conversationalist you are. If you can't get in the door to begin with, then it doesn't matter what your great personal skills are and anything else. The other part of this is you have to stop conflating your personal value with your sexual market value. And women hate it when I say this. Because when I say there's a difference between how hot you are and what makes you a good, makes you attractive on Instagram, like on Bumble, on Tinder, or whatever, what makes you hot, what makes you interesting enough for a guy to go, hey, she's hot. I'd really like to get with that, right? That gets you in the door. After men don't have a criteria of, oh, well, does she love her mom? Does she, is she very intelligent? What's her IQ? Does she have her own business? Men don't care about that, at least and certainly not in the very beginning of like starting a relationship to get from point A to point B. Mm-hmm. The other part of that is you've got to be feminine. You've got to be traditionally feminine. You've got to find, like, you have to actually show appreciation for the guy in the first place, because any guy that would qualify as sort of the high quality, high value man is somebody that you are going to want to have some sort of admiration for anyways. And that's another reason why I said throw egalitarian equalism, blank slate nonsense. Throw that out of your head right now. First of all, it's easily empirically disprovable in the 21st century. And then second of all, women cannot look up to a man who is her equal. She wants to look up to that guy. She wants to feel like he's got at least, you know, conventional masculine dominance in the sense that he can provide, he can protect, and he's interested in children, right? He has parental investment. That's good dad. That's Captain America qualities right there, right? That's the guy who's the guy you want to marry, all right? But he also has to be hot. He also has to stay in shape. He's also got to be somebody that you want to have a good sexual experience with, at least if not immediately, then certainly later on. Mm-hmm. But he's still, you want that guy who's got all that package. Well, that guy has to be above you in some way, shape, or form. And most women don't want to bust themselves down to being anything less than the equal of that guy. But you don't necessarily have to be like, oh, I'm just sort of this, you know, dormouse, you know, housefrau or anything like that. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that you have to at least acknowledge the fact that that guy is above you in some way, shape, or form. Because if he's not, you can't admire him. You can't look up to him if he is your equal. And if you're constantly thinking of that guy as your equal and we're going to make, you know, he's my life partner rather than my husband. There's a big difference in those terms. And so it's making the distinction between those before you even get to the point where, is he my boyfriend? Is he my husband? Is he whatever? You've got to start thinking in terms of men and women are not the same. We are better together than we are apart. We are natural, innate, evolved complements to one another, but we are in no way the same. We do not think the same. We do not have in the innate proclivities. Men tend to be more interested in things. Women tend to be more interested in people. Once you accept those innate, natural differences in men and women, instead of thinking in terms of, I'm looking for the equal partner in the turnkey relationship, get that out of your head. And that's one of the toughest things for women, but especially between the ages of, say, like 35 and 45, where the chips are down, man. They've been, you're already well past what I call the epiphany phase, which is like 29 to 31 years old. You're well past that. So it would behoove you to start thinking in different terms. And that's really tough for women, because we've told them that to be a success is to be a strong, independent woman and to think about things in terms of egalitarian equalism. Throw that out right now.
So what's your, oh my God, I could ask you so much more. We're running out of time and there's so much more. I know Dubai would love to hear from you. What's your final words of advice to men and to women in Dubai who are looking for their life partner?
First and foremost, like I was saying before, first and foremost, throw away any notion of blank slate equalism or thinking that men and women and gender and sex issues and everything is all about social construction. It's not. It's innate. That's the problem we have right now. I think the biggest disconnect between men and women is that we want to believe that we're blank slate equals, and we want to believe that we have like we're just the same thing with just different plumbing. No, we're not. And here we are in the 21st century, and it's time to let go of old order 20th century thinking. And so the reason why you're frustrated, the reason why you can't find the right guy, is you're locked into what's known as churn marketing. Okay, it is in Tinder and Bumble and Hinge's best interests that you don't find a guy. It's in their best interest, monetarily speaking, that you don't hook up with a guy and live happily ever after. That's the worst scenario for a company that's trying to keep you locked up in the churn. So again, start thinking outside the box. If you're looking for somebody who is like you want to have as a permanent situation, or maybe you're just want to date sort of non-exclusively, you have to start thinking in terms of, I'm not looking for a life partner. I'm not looking for an equal. I want to get with a man or a woman. And also understand that that's the good news, because the good news is this, is men and women are different, and that's great. We're supposed to be different. And we're also innate natural complements to one another. Start working in that sense. For men, I will say this, stop sedating yourself with alcohol, with prescription drugs, with World of Warcraft, whatever it is that is addicting you and that is sort of keeping you in place. I can give you all the advice in the world and say, go do this and go do that. And here's the idea, whatever. None of that makes any difference if you can't get out of bed in the morning because you're hungover from the night before. Stop sedating yourself. And there's lots and lots of different sedations for men. It doesn't necessarily have to be alcohol or whatever else. It could just be your mindset. Well, I don't want to do, you're depressed because you think that the world's going to end, or you're very nihilistic and despondent because you don't like your chances on the sexual marketplace. Get up, get out of bed, get out of that headspace, get to the gym, start working on yourself, start focusing on yourself. And then you'll find that you'll get into this positive feedback loop where you start thinking differently. That will get you out of that sedation. And then you can move forward and get to the point where you say, okay, I want this in a woman. I don't want this in a woman. I want to be able to date this person, and I don't want to be able to date this person. But the problem is you don't get to that point until you can get up out of bed to do so in the first place.
It's been such a pleasure. Rollo Tomasi, you can read his book series, The Rational Male, and follow him at Rollo Tomasi. Thank you so much for joining me on the Man Tech Team podcast.